I can't think of the reference, and I know the reference, but I don't know why I can't think of it. It's in the book of John. It says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Can I ask a question, those of you who are not visitors? Do you know that you're loved here? Three of you know it? Start over. Those of you who are not visitors, do you know that you're loved here?
Yes.
Like, no matter what? You know what? You see, God loves us just like we are. But He wants us. He wants us. But what do we want? And often what we want isn't what He wants. Now, while we're on this earth and we're playing this game called life, who gets to be in charge and have all the rules? Us or God? I'm sorry. We're going to have to do this thing where everybody responds, okay? All right. Or I can just have you all stand up and then you'll want to respond. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm not asking for myself. We're playing this game of life. Who gets to be in charge? So, He's God and we're not, right? We ought to say that. He's God and I'm not. Let's say it again. He is God and I am not. Is that clear? Now, if I was God, you wouldn't like it, okay? I'm telling you. But if you were God, I wouldn't like it. I mean, let's just deal honestly. If I was God, all of you would drive in the right lane, okay? So I could have the left, you know? I tell that to people when I'm driving. They don't seem to be listening too well. They might have their music too loud. That's what He said to show me. I'm not God. And I go, God, well, couldn't you just move them over anyway, you know? He's God. If you look in the book of Psalm in chapter 19 and verses 7 through 11, there's a song there we sing. My brain went dead. Anyway, if you look over there, it talks about the Word of God, but it just calls it in a different way. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. The fear of the Lord is the Word of the Lord. How does it start off? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Jump down to verse 11. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. I wish I could find the key. Anyway, maybe I've got a key somewhere. Anyway, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And it's like if you read those verses there, God's ways are perfect. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, all of a sudden my brain went dead again. But anyway, Proverbs 30, verse 5. Why is my brain going dead here, Lord? The point is that God's ways are perfect. God's ways are perfect. Our ways are not. And we live and we wonder why our life goes like it does. Well, I believe in God. It's like that lady is saying, I'm trying to get these spirits out of the house. Well, there's reasons that those spirits don't leave. Okay? And that's why we want to help you, to give you ideas, because Jesus is bigger than the boogeyman, okay? And so when the boogeyman is there, there's a reason. It's because people have made choices to invite them in. Okay? All right? Now, okay, but you got to pray for people. You can't just tell everybody everything right up front, you know? You got to pray for them because we want to speak the truth in love. So one of the things I was going to say is, because He's God, you see, if I was God, I wouldn't give people a free will. Because most people make the wrong choices. Do you resemble that? making the wrong choices. Okay? I resemble that. Well, here's the thought. God is so kind. He gives us a free will. He lets us make our own choices. You are the Lord of your life. And you get to choose what you're going to do, what you're going to believe, what you're going to let come inside of you. You know, the radio, you know, the television, you know, the friends who you hang out with. And we let all this garbage in and then we wonder why we have stinking thinking. You know, we wonder why our life goes like it does. God is so good. He is so kind. And I told you this before, but or man, I don't know if I've ever told y'all. I don't know. I told it a bunch of times. I don't know if I told it here or not. But one day I was praying for people. And let's say it was you I was praying for. And I was going down the list. I'm praying. And God says, Harvey, you have to let them make their own choices. I said, but Lord, they're making all the wrong choices. And God said this, I'll never forget it. He said, Harvey, I limit myself by giving everybody a free will. God said, I limit myself by giving everybody a free will. God lets us make our own choices. This week when Brother Steve was talking, he was talking about being positioned. We have a position that God wants us to be in. We have a place. I'm not called to be a wife. Okay? There was a time I was a kid, and that was my position. And as a kid, or child, whatever y'all want to call them, as a kid, there was things that were required of me to be in the right position. Does that make sense? To be in the right position as a kid, there were things I needed to do. That means I wasn't supposed to tell my parents what to do. If the kids are telling the parents what to do, thanks, Tom. If the kids are telling the parents what to do, they're out of position. Does that make sense? Don't worry about it, Tom. If the kids are telling the parents what to do, they're out of position. If the kids are not obeying, they're out of position. But consequently, or conversely is the word, if the parents are not training the children, then the parents are out of position. Okay? What is our position? If we start, let's turn over to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. What is our position? I want you to notice verse 1. Let every soul, who's he talking to? Us. Who's every soul? Thank you. I appreciate that. I knew somebody was going to get it. All right. As Brother Steve would say, I know I'm talking to someone. Okay. Let every soul, he's talking to every one of us, be subject. What does that word subject mean? Submit. I'm an American. I don't like that word. I want to be independent. I don't want to submit. What does God want?
Obedience.
Let me give you a thought. We've got a kingdom. Have you ever watched like old, what do you call those guys? Knights of the Round Table, that kind of, you ever watch that kind and they have those kind of movies? Have you ever watched that? Come on, raise your hand. You don't got to talk. You aren't going to talk. Raise your hand or something. Okay. I just want to make sure you're still alive. Otherwise, we'll send a paramedic over there to you. Okay. Now watch. With a stick. Another one. Okay. Everybody in that kingdom is what's called a subject. They're supposed to be subject to the king. That means they're supposed to be submissive to the king. Do you know during the Revolutionary War there was a saying that most people don't know that was held by the Americans? And they had a saying, and it was, "No king but Jesus." No king but Jesus. Because they were under a king, an earthly king, that was trying to do things to them that they, like taxation without representation. Kind of like it is today. You know? They didn't like it. But everybody in that kingdom, like when, you know, knights, King Arthur, whatever, everybody in that kingdom is one of two in a category. They are either subject, they are a subject, they honor, they reverence, they follow, they submit to the king and his rules. What do you think the other group is? If they're not a subject, what do you think they are? I'm sorry? Rebels. Now, God has a kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, when Jesus came, said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, we're in his kingdom. Who does he love? Does he only love the ones that are subject, or does he love the rebels too? Sorry?
Everyone,
right? Does everyone get to go to heaven? A lot of people think that everyone gets to go to heaven. That's not what the Scripture teaches. In the kingdom of God, are you a subject or are you a rebel? Are you a subject? Are you submissive? Are you under authority? Or are you a rebel? My way, what I want, what I think, what I feel. Which are you? Now I want you to notice what God does in Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now he's not talking, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous here, the higher power. Okay? What do you think he means by the higher powers? If we put it in a word, if we put it in a word.
Actually, he's talking about the government.
Okay. He's talking about that. Okay. So what is the government? Authority. Let every soul be subject unto authority. For there is no power or authority but of God. The powers, the authorities that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, whosoever therefore resist authority, resist the ordinance, or the way God has put things in order. And they that resist shall receive to themselves, does it say blessing? Damnation. For rulers, people in authority, are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power or the authority? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister, the one who administers of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, or because of this, ye must needs be subject or submissive, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, if you would, turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Yep, Hebrews 13, verse 7. It's right before the book of James, which is a little bit, a few books before Revelation. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Remember them
which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Verse, or their lifestyle, their choices. Look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 46. 6:46. We need to ask ourselves, what position am I in? What position? And then ask yourself, what position does God want me in? In your life. Like, here's a husband and wife I'm figuring, okay? Whatever, I don't know. Okay, let's just, okay, where's the husband and wife? Here's the husband and wife, okay? Now, God called him into several positions. First, he was a son. He grew up to be a dad, or grew up to be a man. Ended up marrying a woman. Now he became a husband. They had children. Now he's a dad. Okay? He has several positions. He's still a son. If his folks are alive, he's still a son. We have positions that God puts us in. What position am I in? What position does God want me in? Am I fulfilling that position? Am I doing what I'm supposed to in that position? What does God want me to do? Whose ways are perfect?
His ways.
Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in Him. Proverbs 30, verse 5. I couldn't remember that earlier. God is perfect. His ways are perfect. As our life lines up with what God says He wants for us, our life starts going smoother. It's kind of like when you're driving a car. Have you ever driven a stick shift? You push the clutch, hold it to the floor, you take the gear shift, and you put it in the next gear. Then when I was learning or teaching my kids, instead of them doing it that way, what noise did they make, Glenn? That's right. It's like, and they weren't even, I didn't even see their mouth move, but I could hear all this growling going on. But it was actually coming from the transmission. Because they were, I said, push the clutch, you know. Which one is that? You know, it's like, I trained all my kids how to drive stick shift. They all probably drive automatic to this day, but I taught them how to drive stick shift so they would know how. Well, it was, you know, you wonder why my hair's missing in the front. That's probably part of the reason, you know. Trying to drive with those kids, you know, but doing stick shift, you know. And when you drive 18-wheeler, I did that. You have to double clutch. You clutch, pull it back in neutral, do it again, pull it into gear. Okay? That's why those trucks don't get off the going so fast, because they're geared slow, you know. And you have about, I don't know how many gears there were. I don't even remember. 10 gears or whatever it was. I don't even remember. It's been so long. But I know there's a bunch of gears you have to go through, and they only go so fast. The point is there is a reason, there's a way to do things, and if we don't do them, there's going to be friction. There's going to be grinding. My dad said they already made the gear. You don't need to grind it again. Okay. What position does God want us in? I want you to look at God's heart in Luke 6:46, and Jesus says, "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" You see, we call Him Lord, and we should, because He's Master, He's Boss, He's the one who calls the shots. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
when you watch those old King Arthur movies and stuff, they would say the serfs would call their master Lord, okay? Because they were their boss. They were subject unto them. But Jesus is our Lord. And he says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" We need to be finding out. That's one reason that I ask you. Please, read your Bible every day. You want to have a good relationship with somebody. Glenn was just talking about it, but I can see right here, he wants to have a good relationship with her. Then that means he's got to listen to her. And she wants to have a good relationship with him. That means she's got to listen to him. They both got to talk to one another. They got to listen to one another. Talking to God is when you're praying. And you can talk to God, and you should, about everything. Because he cares about every need that you have. There's not anything too small. Anything he doesn't care about. He cares about you. But we need to listen to him. We need to open that book. His word. He only gave us one book. I know it's a library of 66 books, but he gave us one book. And he wants to talk to us. And in Matthew 4, Jesus said, verse 4, when he was fighting the devil, Jesus used the word of God, and he said, "It is written," when the devil went to tempt him. And he said, I just love what he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." He said, it's not just eating and taking in what in your physical body. He said, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Christ is your answer. He's got an answer for everything in your life. Every single thing. As you spend time with us, those that have spent time with us, we will deal with every single thing. There's not a subject you can bring to us. Now, sometimes if it has to do with what's going on in the bedroom or something, I have to cover my eyes and because I turn all colors when I'm, you know, talking to couples, okay? I just don't do so well at that. My wife makes fun of me about that. But we will talk about any subject and every subject in your life to help you deal with everything because God's got an answer for everything in your life. There's a reason. Like, for example, we ask God, "God, why didn't you just heal Emelina? I've watched you heal people. Just boom, heal people." A lady came to a church one time, had this big old growth or whatever on her arm. And my wife touched her arm and just stood there. God said, "Just stand there with your hand on her arm." And 45 minutes later, my wife just kept feeling that growth, whatever it was, go down, down, down. Till 45 minutes later, her arm was perfectly normal like the other arm. God doesn't do things always the same way. He's not a little magic genie on a cross that we rub and say the magic words in Jesus' name. Those aren't magic words, by the way. It's about authority. Do you know whose authority you're under? The spirits are subject to God. Remember when the spirits were in those people? They were demon-possessed and Jesus would walk up to them and the demons would fall down and say, "God, you know, why have you come here to torment me, O thou Son of the Most High? Have you come here to torment me before my time?" They knew who he was. They were subject. Don't cast us into the deep, the 2,000, you know, that whole legion of demons. Don't cast us. They knew his power. "God, why haven't you healed Emelina?" we've asked. He said, "If I would have just healed her, maybe they would have said thank you and just left." He said, "I'm after this family. As a matter of fact, there's a whole clan of them." He said, "I'm after them." And he says, I'm drawing them into a real relationship. Because God wants us to need him every day, just like you want to be needed every day. He wants that.
Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. We're talking about position. We're talking about, are we in the right position? We're talking about authority. Whose authority are we under? What if you asked that question right now? What if you stood before God right this minute and He said, whose authority are you under? I like some of the looks I've just seen on some faces because it tells me you're thinking. I appreciate that. My job is not to make your choices for you. My job is to present Jesus. Show them Jesus. It's just to get you to Him. It's to challenge you to think. Because I love you just like you are. And if you just keep staying that way, I'm just going to keep loving you. But it breaks my heart when I see your life and I hear the things in your life that don't change. Because God has so much better for you. And I care. My wife and I care. I don't know what else to do. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children. We can see it real easy with kids. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor. Not just obey. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Why? That it may be well with thee. That your life may go smoother. And thou mayest live long on the earth. Sometimes we wonder why people die early. A lot of times it's because of just this passage right here. Dishonoring, disobeying their parents, which leads to dishonoring and disobeying authority. If you don't teach them to obey and honor you, they're not going to do it with authority. And so we have a whole nation of rebels. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, have you ever gone to a grocery store? Have you ever gone shopping? Have you ever watched TV? Have you ever seen the news? Have you ever looked at a newspaper? Do you know what I'm talking about rebels? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. God has an order. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now, I'm only going to read 1 through 3, but I dare you to read through verse 15. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 3. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I've said that many times to you. The word doesn't just say, be followers of me because I'm the preacher. It says, follow me as I follow Christ. Is Harvey Hampton perfect? No. Do I make mistakes? Do I make plenty of them? Yes. Ask me. I live it every day. I don't even have to practice at sinning. I just do it. It's not what I want to do. It's not my heart. And I find that I do it a whole lot less than I used to. But I still make so many mistakes that's why He has me get up and in front of y'all many times confess my faults. Because how many times have you heard me say, hi, I'm glad you're here, I'm the leader, if you expect me to be better than you, I promise I'll let you down because I'm a good example of a rotten sinner that needs Jesus 24 hours a day. You heard me say that? It's because not what I was taught, that who's ever standing up here is the example of what I'm supposed to be. But this one who's standing up here is the one that God put there. And just like my parents were not perfect, and yet I was supposed to obey them. I was supposed to submit to them. I was supposed to follow them. I was supposed to honor them. So God has it with us. And it's like, we follow.
We listen. We realize they care for us. They're going to give an account. I need to be in position. And I need to be doing in that position what God wants, what would honor God. 1 Corinthians 11, 1-3. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. That's another reason you need your Bible. I've had preachers before that would tell me things. You know, I was a real challenge to them in Bible college. They would teach things, and I would say, excuse me, you said this, but over here the Bible says this, and over here it says that, and I don't see how that goes along with what you said. Could you help me to understand that? How do you think that went over? My preacher one time was mad at me, and he said, and out of his mouth, because he was kind of venting, he goes, you know, the only reason you're in that Bible college is because I'm your pastor, because if I wasn't your pastor, you'd have been kicked out a long time ago. He says, you cause so much trouble over there, I'm constantly having to put out fires. And what it mainly was, at least so far what I know, I mean, I'm sure there was more to it, but I ask questions all the time, and I would challenge them. They told me to read that Bible. So when I started reading it, it made me question what they were saying. I wanted to follow. I was taught to follow by my folks. But when they told me to start reading that book that they said they were following, it didn't always line up. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. How do you know if I'm following Christ? You know if I'm following Christ if you're in that book. If you're walking with God. If you're looking at it. That's why I said, open up to this. These aren't my opinions. My opinions are no better than anybody else's, right? Verse 2. So let's do verse 1 again. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. Now look at verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Did God set up an authority, a chain of command here? Do you see that in the Scripture? So you got God the Father, and who's under God the Father? Jesus Christ. And who's under Jesus? What does it say in the verse? Can't hear you. Man, and then woman. It's not because the men are smarter, because women, when I go like this, they can't understand what I'm saying. It's not because they're necessary, with the, us men are necessarily smarter. In most cases, I find it's the opposite. Okay? But it's because God set up an order. He didn't say, find somebody who's smarter than you and follow them. He said, get in the order that I set up. There's a reason that He wants it that way. If, for example, you're a child. Do me a favor. Hold that a second, will you? You're a child, and you're under your mom. And if your mom says, don't play in the street, but you go to play in the street, do you see how you got out from under authority? Do you see how you got out from under that umbrella of authority and protection that God put in your life? And when the car comes along, beep, beep, and the kid's like laying there, they made a choice. They got out of position. They were not under authority. They were not under protection. But I thought God loves me. He does. But He gave you a free will. You get to choose. You and I get to choose. What is the position that God has put you in? What is the position God's put me in? Am I in the right position? Am I doing what God wants me to do in that position? Who am I under? Who is my authority? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, this isn't one of those services where everybody's yahooing and jumping up and down because we get to go to heaven. You know, this is one of those where we have to tighten our seatbelts a little bit and go, you know, he was hitting that nail on the head. You know, I need to take a look here. Because you know what? I care about you. But there's some of you in here that I haven't been able to help the way I want to help. Because you're out of position. You haven't made the choice to be in the right position and to do what you're supposed to do in that position. The children are not supposed to teach the parents. The children are supposed to do basically two things. Do you know what they are? We read it earlier. Two words. Obey is one. Honor. Were we all children, or did somebody come out of a cabbage patch or something? Any of y'all came out of the public school and you evolved from an ape or a little tadpole or something? Okay. So every one of you were born. That means you are a son or a daughter. One thing that we ought to do today, when God started dealing with me through the years and showing me these type of things, was I said, God, what do I do? Because I didn't honor my mom and dad the way I should have. I didn't obey. I didn't become a drug dealer because my dad said, son, it would be a good thing, you know. It's a lucrative field, you know. You can make some good money if you, you just don't get caught. But let me tell you how not to get caught. He didn't teach me how to be a drug dealer. I became a rebel. And then, because I was a rebel, I was out from under authority, and the devil was able to come and pluck me and lead me down a wrong path. He deceived me. So what happens when you see this in your life? How do we deal with it? You do know what 1 John 1:9 says. If, that's a big word, by the way, biggest word in the word life, if. If we confess, admit, agree with what God's saying. If we confess our sin, He, Jesus Christ, is faithful and just or justified to forgive us our sin. Jesus, please forgive me. I was rebellious to my mom. I was rebellious to my dad. I'm the one who caused your suffering. I'm the one who caused you to be hanged on this rough cross. I'm the one who caused you to get beat up and crucified and nailed and crown of thorns crammed in your head. It was me. Jesus, will you forgive me? What I'm saying is, when you hear these things, instead of just becoming solemn to the point of getting depressed or, oh, I don't want to hear that again. I'm trying to teach you how to live in freedom. And the way you live in freedom is you bring it to Jesus on the cross. And He will forgive you. And He'll begin to cleanse you. He'll begin to start working in your life, bringing other things to your mind to help bring you to where your life starts matching up with how He wants your life instead of being out of kilter, out of position. Just agree with God. God, this is what's been in my life. I was rebellious. I was not taking my proper place. I was not under authority. God, would you please forgive me? He said, that's what I died for. It was for you. Because I love you so much. He says, I don't want you to get what you deserve. He said, so I took what you deserve. So Reuben, give it all to me. You see? Give it all to me, Jesus says.
At that point, we're taking our right place. We become the sinner in need of the Savior. He gets lifted up because we humble ourselves. Until we humble ourselves, we're lifting ourselves up. We're out of position. We're not subjects of the kingdom of heaven because we're proud. And the ones that are subjects of the kingdom of heaven embrace humility, admit the truth, admit their need. God, please forgive me for disobeying my parents. Please forgive me for not honoring them. Please forgive me for being a rebel toward my teacher and making fun of her and drawing pictures about her. Please forgive me for calling them cops instead of policemen or fuzz or all those other things we call them. Please forgive me for, do you understand? And ask God, and like I think it was Frankie said, by layers, you're going to find yourself getting set free of this burden, this heaviness that you may even feel on you right now as you're hearing this. Because you could not, I don't think anybody in this room could admit to worse than what I've done. You know, you've heard it so many times, maybe you've grown callous to it, but there's a song, when he reached down his hand for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God's precious Son. When he reached down his hand for me. But I don't know anybody today that lives more free than I do. Because the truth will set you free. And when you hear the truth and you act on it, Hebrews 4:2 says, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Faith is an action word. You have to do something with what you hear today. If you just are here and the word's hitting you, the word kills. It's what the Bible says. The letter killeth. It's killing you right now. Because God wants to live. All that that's not God, He wants to die. Do you understand? As we agree with the truth and we do something with it, God sets us free. God has a position for us. I think we're supposed to look at John 14:15 and we'll be done. Look over at John 14, verse 15. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You want to get closer? You want to see Jesus? That verse just told you how. Verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode. We're going to hang out. We're just going to make our house your heart. Can you imagine? Jesus looks all over the earth and says, can I live in your heart? You're like, yeah, that's what I want. Because he wants to come and dwell with you. Look at verse 24, just so we see the other side of the coin. Jesus said, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. One of the things that hurts me is when I'm talking with people, I meet people and they'll tell me, I love Jesus. And within a minute or two of talking with them, I find out they're not a subject in the kingdom of heaven. They're a rebel. I love Jesus. And they think, have you ever met somebody that was a hypocrite? I'm just asking. Have you ever met somebody that was a hypocrite? Have you ever met somebody who said, I love Jesus, but it just didn't seem like that was the truth? Hypocristian? Can't be a hypocristian. They can be a hypocrite. But I know what you mean. One who calls themselves a Christian. See, that's why I tell people, I'm not a Christian. I'm a Christian. Because you can't find Christ in a lot of Christians with a magnifying glass. I want to be a Christ-like believer. A Christian. Okay? And it's because of that. And see, that was real hard for me. But when I meet people and they say, I love Jesus, they don't honor Him. They don't obey Him. They don't follow Him. Well, the reason it hurts me, let's just say that Brian said that to me, but his choices, his life, indicated different. I either, for a long time, I kept, when I got in church, all these people that were in church told me they loved Jesus. But as I hung around them, I looked at how their wife looked at them. Whoa, I wouldn't want anybody looking at me like that. I looked at how their kids were toward them and acted. I listened to stuff come out of their mouth. I went to church with them for 15 years and I watched their choices. And I kept saying, Lord, I don't understand. They say they love You. And He said, but what do I say? I said, well, You said, if You love Me, keep My commandments. And he that keepeth not My commandments doesn't love Me. Now, I'm not putting a burden on you. I'm trying to let you know something. The reason it hurts me, if he told me, I love Jesus, but his choices show different. Now, I don't expect perfection. Is his desire to walk with God? Is his desire to follow God? Is he trying to walk in the light that he has while he's making mistakes? Ask God to forgive him and keep going? I'm not looking for perfection. But if he said, I love Jesus, but he's making these other choices, the reason it hurts me is because I feel sorry for him. Because he is living in deception. He thinks you ever been around somebody? They think things are one way, but everybody around them knows it's different. Do we want that said about us? You know what? That's why we need to take a look at ourselves. There's a reason some of the people call me Pastor Challenge. Because I challenge you to think. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here to be your best friend. I will try to be. But I would rather get you to Jesus. I'd rather get you to Jesus, Glenn, when you didn't like me. Thought I was irritating, thought I was the most obnoxious person you had ever met in your life. I'd rather get you to Jesus, Roxanne, when you wanted to claw my eyes out. I'd rather get you to Jesus, and then when you get to Jesus, what I find is those that do come, they end up loving me to pieces. Now, some of them sometimes maybe want to tear me in pieces, I don't know, but they seem to love me to pieces. But in the beginning, I'm stepping on their toes. In the beginning, I'm challenging them. But it's because I want so much more for you. When God brings you in my life, He starts showing me what He has for your life. So it's like I can see where He's wanting to take you. And I'm going, well, they're here. And you want to take them there? And He's like, yeah. And I'm like, how do we get them there? He's like, that's why I brought them to you. I just want you to love them. Give them all the time they need to make all the choices. Don't push them, but challenge them. If today God's doing something inside of you, just agree with it. Don't resist it. Don't fight it. Take your proper place. Let Him be in His proper place. Admit it. Ask His forgiveness. Bring your sin under His blood, under the cross. Jesus, would You take care of this sin? He said, I already did. Remember the last three words on the cross?
It is finished.
It is finished.
He didn't say to be continued. It's not you doing something. It's just you coming into what He did. And we're going to keep loving you as long as it takes. If you need 20 years to work out of this, if you need 20 years to work out of this, we're just going to keep loving you. You hear me? We're going to keep loving you 100%. But we're going to speak the truth in love. Because we want to help you. What is your position? What position did God put you in? What position are you in? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing in that position? He set up the authority, the chain of command, for a reason. If we're going to be under God, we have to be under the authority that God put in our lives. It doesn't mean you always have to like the authority. There's a man called President Obama. I do not like that authority in my life. But God had to deal in my heart for several years before I even started calling him President Obama. And God was dealing in my heart that I was a rebel because I would call him other things. I don't like him. I don't like his choices because everything is anti-God. But I pray for him as the leader. I obey him as the leader, unless in so doing I'm disobeying God. You understand? So I am still a subject of this nation. Like Wayne said, in Romans 13, it's talking about being under authority. That doesn't mean you do everything he says or whatever. You do what he says unless it's disobeying God. God is your ultimate authority. But you still respect the authority. You don't have to like it. We make a choice to submit. We need to admit that we've been rebels. Because until we admit that, we're deceiving ourselves. You follow me? I'm going to pray. I hope Brother Nate comes and plays some music, whatever. Or however you're going to do it. An altar is a meeting place with God. If you want to come meet with God and just pray at the altar, we're going to have that time. If you want to talk and fellowship, just kind of stay away from the altar and you can do that. You can go home. If you're new here, I just want to hug again before you leave, okay? If you want to talk, be glad to do that. We love you. We want you to know Jesus loves you. See, Jesus loves the rebels. He loved me. He came after me when I was so rebellious. And He loved me 100% then. He doesn't love me more now. He doesn't love you more because you do better. He loves you 100% right now. And He loves every single person that's in hell. But He loves them. And it breaks his heart. Our life is a sum total of the choices we make. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And his name is Jesus, not generic God. His name is Jesus Christ. Okay? Hey, Wayne, why don't you come close us in prayer?
God, we love you. And we thank you that we can trust you, that you are worthy to be our boss, as well as our Savior. And we commit our lives to you. God, we want to do everything that you show us to do. God, we pray that you would not let the enemy trick us in any ways to put us under any guilt or step out of the freedom that you want us to be in, but also we want to submit to you in every way that we can. So God, I pray that you would come right now. Holy Spirit, we invite you to minister us, to us, to speak to us, to draw us closer, to break through any walls that the enemy has put up, to keep us from hearing what you want to say to us.